as president of the Africa Development Bank, I have laid out a vision, you know, as a president of the bank, that will address this particular trend as well. You know, first is to focus on smart infrastructure to allow increased productivity and efficiency of growth, you know, and competitiveness for Africa. Secondly is to work on private sector. Private sector for wealth creation, creating SMEs and financing and stuff like that for them. The third one is to jobs for Africa's youth and jobs for Africa's women. The fourth area I'm going to put a lot of emphasis on is reviving rural economies to create shared prosperity and inclusive growth on the continent. And finally, the raison d'etre of the bank is regional integration. So it's going to be regional integration with shared prosperity. So I bring to this particular issue tremendous amount of experience. Having lived and worked in more than 15 African countries, I know Africa well. I consider myself a Pan-African candidate. I grew up in a rural area. You know, I came out of poverty, and I bring a passion, a pulse, to make sure that the Africa Development Bank can deploy resources to unlock hope and opportunity for many. So my focus is going to be a lot more on people-level impact.
Talking about integration of Africa, sometimes people express concern about the lack of political will in the integration of Africa. How do you think this impact on the activities of the bank?
Well, Africa,
and what would you change about that?
Africa has no choice but to integrate. Because, you know, if you look at the size of our market, every single country is a very small market except for maybe South Africa or Nigeria, which are big, big markets. But, you know, we can trade a lot more within our, you know, among ourselves. The amount of trade going on between African countries is very, very low. It's only 12% compared to over 48%, you know, in Asia, and compared to about almost 47% in the North Africa, you know, North America free trade area, and almost 70% in Europe. So Africa has no option but to grow the size of its regional market. Now, there is a lot of political commitment, actually, to that. But a lot of this has to also move faster beyond just the rhetorics and the political commitment to it, which is all great. Mm-hmm. But what needs to be done is the issue. I think a number of critical issues the bank can support. First is have a lot more greater harmonizations of customs and regulations across country. You know, having one border post that makes it easier for people just to pass goods and services can move in quickly would reduce the cost of doing business and therefore facilitate a lot more intra-regional trade. Investing in infrastructure, I mean, ports, the port of Abidjan or the port in Senegal, can are the ports critical to and so on. So making strategic investment in those kind of ports will make it easier for landlocked countries mm-hmm. to actually get in there. Or if you are looking at corridors, just like the Inkala corridor, you know, out of Obiera corridor in Mozambique, are very critical for Malawi and Zambia and so on. So these kind of transnational ports and also transnational highways are very important for the bank to continue to invest in. But I also think that when you look at waterways and go to the Manu River area where you have transboundary water mm-hmm. Resources that are very important for integration, the bank needs to support the development of those facilities. And I also think that regional infrastructure, I mean, take ICT, for example, regional ICT infrastructure that allows the continent to reduce the cost of bandwidth so that you can actually have easier connectivity, you know, between countries. We speed up the speed of business, you know, and allow Africa to, let me say, become a center for business process outsourcing, just like India, just like Philippines, and just like other countries in Asia. So this regional infrastructure, it's very, very important. And I think these are areas, as president of the bank, that I will continue to deepen investment in. And I must say that at the end of the day, though, movement of people. People have to be able to move freely. You know, I'm from Nigeria, and you're from Ghana, and somebody's from Malawi, or somebody from Zambia. You've got to be able to move around. And in my perspective always is, even when we talk about, you know, being African, why don't we have, you know, easier movement? It's easier for me to go to Europe and America than it is to travel to another African country. So I think free mobility is very important. Let's break down all these barriers. We don't need those barriers in Africa. We need united, prosperous Africa, where we are all very proud to be Africans. So where I live is just where I live. Mm-hmm. Where I'm born is where I'm born. Mm-hmm. But I'm an African.
Right.
And I'm at home in every part.
Let's talk about the fragility of Africa and the impact it has on the bank. Recently, elections were held in Nigeria. The president, incumbent president, lost. You were there. What trend do you think Nigeria is, the pace that Nigeria is setting at this moment, that Africa could copy or emulate that will help the work of the bank?
Well, first and foremost, I think there is nothing better than democracy.
Right.
Democracy gives an expansion of the public sphere for people to express themselves. And I think what I'm so proud to be a Nigerian, because of the way that our leaders have actually shown great African and global example. You know, first and foremost, the outgoing president, set up a very independent system, never tinkered with it. He lost the election, but he considered the election even before it was announced. The incoming president showed resilience, and constantly continued to pursue the democratic space, and that shows great leadership, and the transition going on in Nigeria is totally, it's very smooth, and that tells you that Nigeria's democracy is matured, deepened, and we need that all across Africa's countries.